We're doing Sefer Amidot, and yesterday we learned a fantastic piece, the one time where he tells us, I want you to think about what I just said. And yesterday he explained to us what stands in a person's way from accepting the belief that God is running the world. Why do we have a hard time connecting with that? And he said there are two prime causes. One is, we're in the ninth chapter, page Ayin Zayin. And I keep forgetting, we'll dedicate our learning to Ze'ev Wolf ben Nissan. Today is his Yahrzeit. He said, the one point that stands in our way is the fact that we live in a physical world and we're accustomed to being impressed by physical things. And the more of a physical impression something makes upon us, the greater it is. And God just doesn't fit into that box. And number two is that our own pride gets in our way. So those are the two things that stand in our way from accepting the concept of God. So a person has to know that he has to soften his heart. He has to take down some of his pride before he can really connect with the concept. And now we're in the last paragraph on page Ayin Zayin, in the Shaar HaDaat, the ninth chapter. You got it? So you can accept the concept of God. Okay. Says the thing that usually stands in people's way, the prime thing is their own pride. Their own pride gets in the way. A person feels like, I've been doing whatever I want. Why should I stop doing that? I'm very happy being the boss. Why should I accept the idea that someone else is running the show? A person likes to feel like he's the boss, and this idea would contradict that.
So understand how someone's supposed to come to that realization. Most people are unable to be honest with themselves.
Let's see. Al ken tireh rishona. Therefore, says the Magid Midovna. The first thing you have to see, you're learning this book, right? That's one way to get there. Al ken tireh rishona lekabel alecha hanaga ruya lecha hi arachat hanefesh al mishpata. So he says the first thing you got to do is accept to behave in a way that's fitting, and that is to judge the soul in accordance with what it really is. V'lachshov al metziutah v'havayatah ma lapol. And ask yourself, why is my soul in existence? What's its purpose here? And you'd be surprised how many people never ask themselves that question. You ask a person, what are you on this planet for? And he's like, what do you mean? This is like a trick question. I ran into this when I was dealing with Shiduchim. So in the yeshivish world, you're used to this question. People are spending their life focused on refining that point. And we also tried to help people with Shiduchim who led less religious lives. And I remember many times I'd ask this question and people were like, wait a second, what does that have to do with anything? I'd ask like, what do you want to accomplish in life? What's your goal? And it kept shocking me out. Boys, girls, didn't matter. That was like a question which was like, come on, don't get so serious on me. You'd be surprised. Umi avi adalom. And the second question a person asks himself is, how'd you get to where you are? Ashakol mitziutani davava chesed me'etam amtzi alion baruchu. That the truth is that a person's sole existence is really kindness from the omnipresent, the omnipotent, the one who has given it existence, the one up above, blessed be he. And this goes back to the concept we discussed a little bit earlier. A person has to connect to the idea that I cannot take credit for the fact that I'm here. One of the reasons we're so proud is because we feel like we're in control, and a person has to remind himself, I'm not in control. I'm not the one that brought myself to existence. Gam lo laninteim elyonim, even the upper beings, no angel can take credit for its own existence. Ven el adam ki imrot einayim. What I do have is the capacity to see. I can perceive. I do exist now. But I have to realize that I don't control that existence. So what capacity do I have? I have the capacity to see, labit maaseh Hashem haniflaim, to take in, to perceive the great actions of the Creator, hamamtzi kol hanimtzim, who actually created everything that's in existence, shamayim u'shmei shamayim, all the different heavens, ve'imtachim kol hashevet, he spread them out like a tent for us to live under, ve'natan ve'morot ha'gdolim, shem shvirech v'chochavim en mispar, and in the heavens he put the great luminaries, the sun, the moon, and a countless number of stars. And a person should humble himself and look at his own soul and say to himself, why are you climbing on rooftops, so to speak, seeking greatness for yourself? What am I doing here? Why do I think I'm so proud? What am I in control of? Hello, ani ba'olam hazeh rak ani omed al miftan ha'bayit u'mevakesh mimi she'eino mechuyav lo. In this world, all I'm similar to, I'm like a poor man standing at the entrance to the door and asking for a favor from someone who owes him nothing. That's one of the concepts we have to remember. No one owes us anything. God never signed a contract with us. There was once a guy who knocked on Rav Tzvi Yehuda's door at 2 o'clock in the morning. He had a great question in Emuna. So Rav Tzvi Yehuda answers the door in a bathrobe and looks at him and doesn't let the guy say a word. He asks him, where's your contract? So the guy's like, what contract? So he says, where's your contract? So the guy's, Rebbe, it's the middle of the night, I know, but what contract? So he says, where's your contract with God? What does he owe you? What answers do you think you have to get at 2 o'clock in the morning? What contract do you have that you have to know right now? We sometimes feel like we deserve things. What do we deserve? What right do we have? We have to realize that what we're receiving is a gift. This is one of the first points, and this is one of the key points to really being able to attain at least some semblance of humility to come close to the concept that God exists. Again, if we say that one of the great hurdles to cross is our own pride, where a person likes to feel in control, so then a person has to remind himself we're not in control. It's very humbling to see different circumstances in hospitals and see where life goes. I was on a plane with my whole family, and suddenly the plane hit an air pocket. And I didn't know this, but when the only way planes can stay on top is if they're straight, meaning when a plane turns upside down, there's no way he could stay up. And the plane hit the air pocket. It didn't just all go down. The front went down and the back went down. And the whole plane went like it was about to turn over. So you had these moments where the plane is shaking like in the air. You're wobbling back and forth and you're not sure if he's going to regain control. And the stewardess is like, everyone's yelling and panicking. And we had a kid on board who they don't give seats to. You know, under 2 years old, they don't give seats. They expect you to hold. And I'm sitting in the front, and I don't know if my wife is awake in the back. It's 2 o'clock in the morning. Our flight was delayed. I don't know if she's holding on. I don't know if the baby's hitting the roof back and forth, popping. I don't know. Like, I'm sitting there. There's nothing I could do. And you have these moments where you really remember, wait a second, I have no control. I have my whole family sitting here in a plane. I have no control. You feel the whole plane being shaken like a toy in the air. And the truth is that I always tell myself, why is today any different? Because I'm not being shaken back and forth. I'm not like a rag doll in this world. What do I have control over? Do I have control over any part of my body? Can I make my heart pump? Can I make my brain work? Do I have control over whether I'll wake up tomorrow morning and in what state I'll be? Every time I look at someone who has a stroke, every time I look at someone with a disability, I remind myself, wait a second, what's the difference between me and him? I don't know. God allowed me today to be able to walk and talk and do all these things. We make blessings over these things every morning, but at the end of the day, we don't control them. And that's a thought we have to keep reminding ourselves. You know, we say it, it makes sense, we hear it, but then we keep going our lives living as though we are in control. So the Magen Midovna says, you want to be able to perceive God, you have to first remove that level of pride, and the person has to recognize that we cannot take credit and we are not in control. We're like a pauper standing at the entrance to the house and asking someone for something that he doesn't owe him. He's just begging. All he could hope for is the other person's mercy to do kindness with him. We just turned the page to Ayin Chet. And his life is on the brink. Because in truth, the human being needs the mercy from above every moment, al kol neshima un shima, for each and every breath. But tzrich lachtin atzmecha o lachnia opecha, a person has to minimize himself and be willing to soften his brazen neck, ulvakesh ulitpalel al chayecha val kol tzrachecha, and to request and pray for his own life and his needs. And here I think he's alluding to another point. If we can really daven, if we can stand in prayer and ask Hashem what we need, then that's one of the ways of advancing in our emunah. The fact that a person can talk, can connect. And sometimes a person has to leave his surroundings, find a place where he could daven where he doesn't know anyone, find a new place to daven, go to a shul where he could feel comfortable davening. I often recommend that guys find a morning to go out to Me'a Sha'arim and go to the Karlin Hasidim, put a talus over your head, and join their davening. The nice thing about their davening is that they yell throughout the davening. So you could talk to Hashem, say whatever you want, no one hears you, no one sees you, you don't exist. It's just you and God standing in that minyan. So go, take advantage of that. A person shouldn't feel self-conspicuous. He should be able to enter a realm where it's just him and God. And if it takes going to a strange land, going to a place called Me'a Sha'arim, that continent. You guys heard of that, Me'a Sha'arim? Yeah? It's like a place you don't have to worry that you'll know anyone there. The odds are pretty slim. So you could go there and talk to the Creator. And that helps a person. He says when a person can recognize his position and request and daven for his life and his needs, I recommend that people make a list. Just like I recommend before Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, a person should make a list for himself what he davens for. So why shouldn't a person have that every day of the year when he davens? He should have the names of the people he should be concerned for. We ourselves, we have students here who just underwent surgery. Two students underwent surgery this week. You guys know David Tuvia and Isser Avram. We have Rav Eliasaf's son, who was hit by a car. I'm told he's doing much better. That's what I was told. I'm just saying there are things that a person should be davening for. A person should have a list, and that changes one's davening. Suddenly I'm talking to God about what's important to me. It's not just the words Nanchik Nesak Dola told me to say. And Chazal wanted our davening to be personal. But he says the davening where we're asking Hashem for our lives, that helps us recognize where we're standing. It's really beyond our capacity to ensure our existence. How does a person take such pride in his existence when it's just moments from when he wasn't here? Go back a few years, the world was without Netanel Frankenthal. Go forward a few years, well, we hope more than a few years, but it's not that many. Even if I make it to 120, there's going to be a world after Netanel Frankenthal. So how does a person take pride in that fleeting moment where he's actually in existence? When in essence, even at the time that a person's in existence, well, his existence is contingent on the physical. We are composed of the physical, which also means that even as we exist, we have to fear our lack of existence, meaning our existence is finite, like every physical existence. Because anything physical, anything that's put together, any intricate piece of work, if you don't keep your eye on it, it falls apart. So that's the human being. How many things function in our body on a daily basis, and we just take it all for granted, right? No dialysis, our kidneys are working. We have a liver, we have a kidney, we have a brain, we have a heart, we have lungs, we have all these things that other people don't have. It really, our own existence is contradictory to what we deserve. Our own existence is a gift from the one who gives life to all living. And our existence is here, and it does not stem from our say-so or our agreement to exist. So we have no portion in our existence. We can take no credit for it. So that's the first step, he says. And if a person wants to recognize his Creator, we said one of the great hurdles is his own pride. And in order to overcome that, a person just has to gain some true perspective and realize that he doesn't have control and that he cannot take credit for his own existence and start appreciating the gifts that Hashem gives him in his existence down below.